America in Prophecy Series, Part 4.
Before the Conclusion of the 70 Weeks, by William Males. It is asserted by those who embrace the doctrine of a seven-year tribulation period that its primary scriptural foundation comes from Daniel chapter 9. In this chapter, the angel Gabriel tells Daniel that at the beginning of thy supplications the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter, and consider the vision. Gabriel then continues by telling Daniel that 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, and upon thy holy city. We must remember that Gabriel was sent forth at the beginning of Daniel's supplications, when he was confessing his own sins and the sins of Israel. Therefore the matter and the vision which Gabriel was sent to help Daniel understand was connected to his prayer for Israel in captivity. In all, there were seven specific things Gabriel prefaces to the understanding of the vision. 1. It was a period of time regarding Daniel's people and the holy city, a 70 weeks. B. Jerusalem. 2. It was to finish the transgression. 3. It was to make an end of sins. 4. It was to make reconciliation for iniquity. 5. It was to bring in everlasting righteousness. 6. It was to seal up the vision and the prophecy. 7. It was to anoint the Most Holy. The angel Gabriel continues explaining to Daniel that the 70 weeks are going to be divided into three specific time periods whereby each will serve specific prophetic purposes, with outlining events and definite conclusions. 1. 7 weeks. 2. Plus 62 weeks, equals a 69 week subtotal. 3. Plus the last week, equals 70 weeks total. Let's quickly review these verses to give us a fresh recall of them before we continue. Daniel 9:20-27.
And whilst I was speaking, and praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me, and talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter, and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate.
Is that last week in verse 27 commonly referred to as Daniel's 70th week, that has become accepted and known as the seven-year tribulation, and linked to this verse in Daniel. At this time I must entreat your patience, as I originally had intended starting this post with addressing the particulars of this vision from the angel. However, before tackling the 70th week, there are some noteworthy observations regarding the method of Daniel's writing this prophetic book that should be addressed first. Additionally, there are various key players in Daniel's book, including the angel Gabriel, which would be prudent to briefly investigate, since there are several visions seen by various individuals, some of which are associated to Gabriel's presence and interpretations, while others are not. Some visions address events immediately on the horizon for the kingdom of Babylon and Daniel, while others have events are far off and the understanding of them were sealed until the end. Daniel 12:8-10. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, My Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Sadly, I know this will require more effort and energy to properly consider than most Christians nowadays are willing to invest, but considering the gravity of this vision, and the times in which we are living, it would stand as an indictment of lukewarmness and carelessness against me if I did not invest the time to present these points and the overall perspective of events leading up to the final 70th week of Daniel. Especially in light of the angel's clear decree that none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. That statement resonates with the same alarm of truth as the word spoken to the Apostle John when the angel told him that they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. The first observation that is important to take note of is that the book of Daniel was not entirely written in Daniel's own language of Hebrew, a fact that must be recognized as significant if we are to rightly divide the word of truth in trying to define the key players in Daniel, especially those involved with these 70 weeks. Daniel begins writing in Hebrew, but in chapter 2-4 he switches to the language of his conquerors. From that point all the way to the end of chapter 7 Daniel wrote in Chaldee. The explanation given by commentator Adam Clark is as follows: as the Chaldeans had a particular interest both in the history and prophecies from Daniel 2:4 to the end of Daniel 7:28, the whole as written in Chaldee, concerning chapter 8 to the end of the book, Adam Clark continues explaining that Daniel wrote in Hebrew, as the prophecies which remain concern times posterior to the Chaldean monarchy, and principally relate to the church and people of God generally. Therefore they are written in the Hebrew language, this being the tongue in which God chose to reveal all his counsels given under the Old Testament relative to the New. Adam Clark's profound statement is worthy of prayerful consideration, that the prophecies in Daniel after chapter 7 are posterior to the Chaldean monarchy or post-Babylon. I think this detail gives good foundation for believing that many living today upon earth will witness the destruction of Mystery Babylon before the final sealing up of the vision and prophecy upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Meaning, it is feasible that the eighth beast goes into perdition, destruction, before the conclusion of the 70th week. To simplify that even further, America, being the eighth beast, will be completely destroyed before the final prophecies of the visions regarding Israel are fulfilled prior to the Lord's return. My next observations and thoughts would be directed temporarily to the angel Gabriel. In the Bible we only have four passages that mention him. The first we will but briefly address is where Gabriel is commissioned to explain to Daniel his vision of the ram and the he-goat and to give the prediction of the 70 weeks. Daniel 8:15-17. And it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then, behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid, and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, Understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now I want to remind the reader that this vision is separate from the 70 weeks vision. Daniel was given this vision while Babylon was still an intact sovereign empire. Daniel 8:1. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar a vision appeared unto me, even unto me Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. Now even though Babylon was still intact, all the prophecies about it were already given and were about to be fulfilled. Here in chapter 8 Daniel returns to writing in Hebrew because from now on the vision and prophecies are dealing with Israel post-Babylon. However, this vision in chapter 8 is somewhat a continuance of one Daniel had earlier under the rule of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. Daniel 7:1-3. In the first year of Belshazzar king of Babylon Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream, and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and, behold, the four winds of the heavens drove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. These four great beasts came up from the sea represent four great monarchies. For the sake of clarity and presentation, we must set our discussing Gabriel aside temporarily, and address these four beasts who are actually four of five key players in chapter 7. Daniel 7:4. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. This first beast like a lion with eagle's wings represents Babylon which invaded Israel quickly. Appropriately, in scriptures we find Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, being depicted as a lion, and his conquests as swift as an eagle. Jeremiah 4:7. The lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy cities shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. Jeremiah 48:40. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, he shall fly as an eagle, and shall spread his wings over Moab. Isaiah 5:29. Their roaring shall be like a lion, they shall roar like young lions. Yea, they shall roar, and lay hold of the prey, and shall carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it. Ezekiel 17:3. And say, Thus saith the Lord God, A great eagle with great wings, long-winged, full of feathers which had divers colors, came unto Lebanon, and took the highest branch of the cedar. Nebuchadnezzar's army conquered Israel and destroyed Jerusalem. The walls of the city were pulled down, the gates burned, the temple robbed of all its treasures, and destroyed. In the process, a considerable percentage of the Israelites were killed, while the choicest of their young men were carried away captive, leaving only the poorest behind as miserable farmers. Daniel 7:5. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. This second beast, represented by a bear, was the Medo-Persian Empire. It's been noted by some commentators how the bear, being the largest species of these four beasts, were found in the colder mountainous regions of Media, modern Iran. The Medo-Persian Empire is compared to a bear on account of their aggressiveness and thirst for blood. However, with the Jews in captivity, we see how the sovereignty of God moved the Medo-Persian Empire leaders to allow a return of the Jews back to rebuild Jerusalem. It is under this empire that we have both the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. Daniel 7:6. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. The third beast, a four-headed leopard with four wings of a fowl, is the Macedonian, or Greek Empire, which rose to power under Alexander the Great. The swiftness with which Alexander accomplished his conquests is appropriately represented by a leopard with four wings of a fowl. For though the Babylonian Empire was embodied in lion with two wings to witness the speed of Nebuchadnezzar's conquests, Alexander's empire has four wings, since up till that time in history no other empire was its equal. The four heads of the leopard prophetically foretells the dividing of the Macedonian Empire upon Alexander's death between his four generals. It is important to note in verse 6 that dominion was given to it, meaning the triumphs of the Greek Empire were not due to of Alexander's own the skill, or even the courage of his troops, rather the nations were given to him. Bishop Newton stated that had he not been assisted by the mighty power of God, how could he, Alexander the Great, with only 30,000 men have overcome Darius with 600,000, and in so short a time have brought the countries from Greece as far as India into subjection? It was God who gave Alexander his dominion, for we must remember the vision and prophecy are specifically concerning thy people, and upon thy holy city. Daniel 7:7. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful, and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue at the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Note that this fourth beast is not identified with the known species, as it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. It is the Roman Empire, dreadful, terrible, and exceeding strong, and it devoured, and breaks in pieces, and stamped the residue with its feet. This not only witnesses to its absolute triumph over all the other nations, bringing them to naught, but more significantly points to how Rome destroyed Israel in 70 AD, scattering the remnant thereof throughout the nations of the world. Before I continue, I need to make a short rundown or rabbit trail. God created man to be responsive to him, and to live under the discipline of his holy precepts, delighting in his laws and meditating therein night and day. When a man is responsive to God, he is being responsible and therefore permitted to freely enjoy the benefits of God's creation and kingdom. Humanity has no rights or privileges apart from their responsibilities to the kingdom of God. This is important to acknowledge if we are going to be found fit for the kingdom of God. Luke 9:62. Jesus said to him, No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Hence the angel stated that Rome was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, for history reveals it was a republican form of government in contrast to the preceding monarchical empires. Perhaps this fact serves as the foundation as to why it was not identified with an unknown species. Though God created men to have dominion, he never intended for men to govern their own selves. Such a government therefore is unnatural, being a creation of man and not of God. The only form of government God can truly approve is a monarchical kingdom, which alone under his guidance can be fashioned and ruled so as to prophetically represent his own, where he is honored as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Nevertheless, when men reign over other men, they will eventually reject God's word and his kingdom. Then it is no longer God through men that reigns, but sin. Such lesson can be verified not only in the history of each of these empires, but in Israel's history as well. For when sin reigns, it will always be found to be dreadful, terrible, and exceeding strong, for it devours and breaks in pieces and stamps the residue with its feet, as it will seek every opportunity to trod in underfoot the Son of God and count the blood of the covenant an unholy thing, and despites the Spirit of grace. Back on point, the 10 horns on the beast were prophetic of the fall of Rome and how later it would be divided into 10 smaller kingdoms, which to the best of my knowledge forsook the republic governing structure of Rome and returned to monarchies, and have been surmised to be the following: 1. The Roman Senate. 2. The Greeks in Ravenna. 3. The Lombards in Lombardy. 4. The Huns in Hungary. 5. The Alemans in Germany. 6. The Franks in France. 7. The Burgundians in Burgundy. 8. The Saracens in Africa and a part of Spain. 9. The Goths in other parts of Spain. 10. And the Saxons in Britain. The Little Horn. Daniel 7:8-11. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. This little horn is almost too quietly mentioned when contrasted against the weight of the four winds of the heaven which strove upon the great sea, and the four great beasts came up from the sea. However, there are a few points worthy of prayerful consideration I would like to make, hoping those reading will have read my previous post, and have already placed all their current persuasions on the altar of God so as to be open to examine these things afresh. First, this little horn's origin comes from among them. This to me speaks of a nation or empire that will rise up not only out of the 10 horns, but in all probability predominantly from one in particular. This is why it is prudent to compare each of these four beasts with the diverse attributes assigned to the eighth beast that rises up out of the sea. Revelation 13:1-2. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. Second observation, notice the little horn has eyes, like the eyes of man. These eyes of a man speaks primarily to the lust of the eyes of men, signifying the little horn is never going to be satisfied till all it sees comes under its control and influence. Therefore he will be cunning, flattering, and given to endless lies to achieve its conquests. The little horn also has a mouth speaking great things, which also can be associated with the eighth beast. Revelation 13:5-6. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. God has been long-suffering and forbearing with the folly of humanity from the beginning, permitting many seemingly great things to occur that many people perceive to have been accomplished through the wisdom and might of men. Yet all this ultimately is permitted only to prove to the whole world there is in fact a God and Creator before whom all the nations are reckoned but dust in the scales, for all the souls of such powerful men will still stand before Him to give an accounting, acknowledging that His alone is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever and ever. Isaiah 40:15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Again, please also recall how the three other horns were plucked up by the roots by the little horn. Consider again the verse. Daniel 7:8-11. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. It is simple history that originally the colonization of America was attempted by three of those 10 horns, England, Spain, and France. However, all three of these have been plucked up by the roots, so to say, and lost all sovereign claim to American soil. It is evident that it was because of the great words which the horn spoke, the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Again, this too can be seen attributed to the eighth beast, who is destined to be destroyed by the 10 horns. Revelation 17:16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. Revelation 18:8. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, and mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Daniel saw both the rise and fall of this little horn, which was confirmed to be under the sovereign watch of the Ancient of Days. No kingdom, even though they may appear to be running rampant in defiance to his great authority, has ever gone beyond the tolerance of the Lord's great power and restraint. Daniel 7:9-12. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, 1,000,000 ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. At this point, I would like to stress the importance of noting that the destruction of this little horn, which became a great beast and was destroyed by fire, that its judgment does not bring the same timely end to the other horns or beasts. It is clear that they lose some of their power, but they are permitted to continue on for a season and time. I hope to address this more thoroughly later in a post on the 7-year tribulation. Lastly, I wish to return our focus to Gabriel, where he appears to Daniel in chapter 8. Again, this is where Daniel returns to writing in Hebrew after the prophecies concerning Babylon, which were written in Chaldee, which is Aramaic. This is only a couple of years after Daniel was given the vision of all the beasts above. Now he was given another vision, in the 3rd year of the reign of King Belshazzar. In this vision, Daniel foresees the coming of the Medo-Persia Empire, second beast, represented here as a ram with 2 horns, one higher than the other. As he was pondering the ram and its horns, a great he-goat appears with a single great horn between its sides. This horn in chapter 8 is Alexander the Great, previously the third beast in chapter 7, the leopard, to which dominion was given. As stated earlier, this dominion was not just over the other nations, but is specifically given to him over thy people and the holy city. Here Alexander the Great / Greece, as the he-goat moves so quickly it is said to not to even touch the ground. Daniel 8:5. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. In the vision, the he-goat smites the ram, breaks his 2 horns, taking away its power to stand, and casts the ram down to the ground. After which the he-goat, that is Greece, becomes a greater empire, until the notable horn, that is Alexander the Great, is broken and he dies. This leaves his empire to be divided among his 4 generals. Daniel 8 and 9. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up for notable ones toward the 4 winds of heaven. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south, and toward the east, and toward the pleasant land. There is not much is said about the 4 notable ones that came up, for the emphasis of the verse straightway goes to another little horn that came forth from one of them. Now many people and commentators believe that this little horn is the same as the little horn in 7-8, but I disagree. The 7-8 horn comes from the remnants of the 4th beast and horns, where this little horn comes from one of the 4 horns of the 3rd beast. Also, this later 2nd little horn is placed in a time frame of the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, which simply means the measure of God's patience with the sins of the transgressors has come to an end. Judgment is now imminent. To put it simply here, I am strongly inclined to believe this little horn was Antiochus Epiphanes, who polluted the temple by sacrificing a pig on the altar of God, blaspheming his name, and was later defeated by the Maccabees. Antiochus died suddenly of worms and ulcer supposedly in 164 BC, in harmony with Daniel 8:25, which says, "But he shall be broken without hand." I truly regret the length of this post, as I know many will not give themselves to read through all this. I would much rather be discussing Jesus Christ and his promises to us, but I felt some of these points needed be established for a foundation before entering the subject of the 70 weeks in chapter 9. However, for those that have read through thus far, I would like to make one last point that concerns a clue given to us through an angel speaking to another asked concerning the duration of this vision. Daniel 8:13-14. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, "How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under foot?" And he said unto me, "Unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." If the prophetic day here is to be understood the same as it is in chapter 9, then we can conclude the duration will be 2,300 years that the sanctuary and the host is to be trodden underfoot. It has always been my strong inclination that the retaking of the Temple Mount in 1967 was a significant event, one which would not have happened unless God had foretold it by his prophets. Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. If we subtract 1967 years from the 2300, we end up with 333 years, as it was brought to my attention, Brother Art, that from year 1 DC to 180, there is only 1 year to be counted, since there is no 0 year to be counted in the timeline. Though we do not know the months or exact time of year, this is the very close, if not exactly, to the time of Alexander the Great entrance into the Persian-ruled Asia Minor in 334 before Christ. Josephus in the Antiquities of the Jews, Book 11, Chapter 8, Paragraph 5, tells the story of Alexander the Great arriving in Jerusalem, and when he, the high priest, understood that he, Alexander the Great, was not far from the city, Jerusalem, he, the high priest, went out in procession with the priests and the multitude of citizens. The procession was venerable, and the manner of it different from that of other nations, and when the Phoenicians and the Chaldeans that followed him, Alexander the Great, thought that they should have liberty to plunder the city and torment the high priest to death, which the king's displeasure fairly promised them, the very reverse of it happened. For Alexander, when he, Alexander the Great, saw the multitude at a distance, in white garments, while the priests stood clothed in fine linen, and the high priest in purple and scarlet clothing, with his mitre on his head, having the golden plate whereon the name of God was engraved, he, Alexander the Great, approached by himself, and adored that name, the name of God, and first saluted the high priest. The Jews also did do all together with one voice salute Alexander and encompass him about, whereupon the kings of Syria and the rest were surprised at what Alexander had done, and supposed him to be disordered in his mind. They thought Alexander was crazy for bowing before the high priest. However, Parmenio alone went up to him, Alexander the Great, and asked him how it came to pass that when all others adored him, he should adore the high priest of the Jews. To whom he replied, "I did not adore him, but that God who hath honored him with his high priesthood, for I saw this very person in a dream in this very habit, high priestly garment, when I was at Dios in Macedonia, who, when I was considering with myself how I might obtain the dominion of Asia, exhorted me to make no delay, but boldly to pass over the sea thither, for that he, God, would conduct my army and would give me the dominion over the Persians. Whence it is that having seen no other in that habit, high priestly garment, and now seeing this person in it, and remembering that vision and the exhortation which I had in my dream, I believe that I bring this army under the divine conduct and shall therewith conquer Darius and destroy the power of the Persians, and that all things will succeed according to what is in my own mind." When the high priest went outside Jerusalem to meet Alexander the Great, he took the book of Daniel to show Alexander the prophecies concerning him, to which Alexander was so moved that he went to the temple to offer a sacrifice and worship God. Summary. 1. I strongly believe there is profound prophetic significance in that Daniel 2:4-7:28 was written in Aramaic, dealing with Babylon and its fall. This signifying to me that after the eighth beast and mystery Babel in the Great Falls, there will still be a brief period for other prophecies to come to pass in the last days. That further indicates a necessity to prayerfully consider a literal interpretation of Revelation 18:4, to come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. 2. Before we see the conclusion of the 70th week of Daniel, we will have witnessed the fall of Babel in the Great, that is America, the eighth beast being completely destroyed before the final prophecies of Daniel's visions regarding Israel are fulfilled just prior to the Lord's return. 3. The little horn that plucks up three other horns by their roots agrees with America having fought and gained her independence from England, Spain, and France. 4. That Gabriel comes after Babylon and declares the ends and beginnings of other events on God's predetermined timeline, commissioned to explain to Daniel the vision of the ram and the he-goat, and gives the prediction of the 70 weeks, Daniel 16:9-21, in the Old Testament. Later in the New Testament he appears to Zacharias proclaiming the birth of John the Baptist, and then later to Mary, announcing the birth of Jesus, Luke 1:19-26. Thus again, I feel the conclusion of the 70th week of Daniel will be preceded by the fall of Babel in the Great. 5. All this is crucial to understanding the 70 weeks as a prophetic period of time pertaining to Daniel's people and the holy city.